Welcome to episode 354 of the 8-Bit Geek. Is this your first time around here? Well, let me tell you what this show is like. It's a lot like falling in love, you know?
Aww.
You meet that special someone,
mm-hmm.
You fall head over heels,
mm-hmm.
and then you forget to do anything for them on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
The relationship falls apart. And they leave you for a more talented podcast. I mean, person. I'm Jeremy. And with me today are two men who once pretended to be one another in the bedroom on Valentine's Day.
To each other. It's a role play. I'm Kevin.
It's like that episode of Arrested Development where Joe, where's what was his name? Tony Wonder mask and yep. Tony Wonder is wearing
the Job mask.
I'm Doug.
And the one not having a sneeze button or a snot button.
Oh, my bad. The one time I told everyone, I was like, I'm going to mute throughout the night. And then I just don't mute it right off the bat.
Yeah. And then all you hear is,
yeah. Welcome to my world, everybody. That was my weekend.
That's Kevin. He didn't even say his name.
I said it like twice.
Nah, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear anything. Let's see. In the chat, somebody asked, Green Iris says, hey, guys, what 8-Bit podcast is this? Well, this is 8-Bit Geek. Like I said at the top of the show, I did an intro and I said, hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 354 of the 8-Bit Geek. If you're looking for Saga, that's...
And they just went there. Yeah, they just took it right back.
Like, well, F you.
Unfollow.
If you're looking for Saga, they great. Start in 2 hours. Don't leave. So, have you guys ever had an issue on Valentine's? Have you ever dropped the ball?
Every year.
Every year.
Like New Year's. No. I mean, yeah, I'm sure I have. But I mean, like, we don't take Valentine's that serious. Like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. So
it's the one holiday that Ashley and I don't take serious either. So all we're doing this year is I bought her a trip to New York City. So it's not that big of a deal. We don't take it serious. It's just, you know, it's just something that, you know, no biggie, just small gifts.
So you say you take,
Richie
every holiday,
Rich.
You take every holiday but that serious. So like, what do you do on Arbor Day? Like, you pick up these random ass holidays. You're like, you better remember me. Fucking Leslie Nope over here. Friendship Day.
Oh, Friendship Day is big in my house.
Yeah.
It's the one time of year that we really look at each other and be like, you're my friend.
Yeah, bud.
And then they fly to fucking Paris, goddamn Richie Rich motherfucker over here. They take their goddamn private jet.
It's true.
I can't help it. I was blessed, okay? Thank Jesus.
He was just a poor Jewish boy, and now he is a rich Jewish man?
I was just a poor boy. Didn't know I was Jewish. How's that song go? I think that's the way it is.
That's the exact lyrics from Queen? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
And all jokes aside, we just do the whole, like, hey, here's some chocolate and a card. And
mm-hmm. That's what we do.
And
we try to make it cheesy. Like, I found one last year that was a furry. It was a beef jerky heart. Like, it was from the one with the Sasquatch, whatever, Lynx mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. a Jack Lynx. And so I found that, and it was a furry heart. And I brought that home to her with some chocolates.
Nice.
So stuff like that. And then she made one for me since I'm a big wrestling fan. There's a female wrestler, Asuka. and she printed out a picture of Asuka and put a six pack of old style beer and said, I want to ask you a question. Will you be my Valentine?
Aww.
It's really sweet. It was very sweet. I love her for that.
That's great. I just try to find the biggest Valentine's card I can find. And it's just a giant holiday card, a Valentine's card. And so I just give it to her, the card, every year.
Oh, okay.
Every year. Doug, what do you do?
Oh, I go in the opposite direction. I try to find the smallest Valentine's card I can give her. That
much. Was a Valentine's card for ants?
Yeah, and you're like, this is how much I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Oh my God, his tiny lighthouse.
This tiny lighthouse says, and I can't believe I'm reading this, you put the card on your dick. That's why the card has to be so big.
Thank you, his tiny lighthouse. You're right. You 100% right. So yeah, I mean, we're, you know, happy Valentine's Day, everybody, when you hear this on Friday.
And not on Tuesday or Tuesday. Monday night. You're with us on Twitch.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you like what you're listening to, if you liked all that pregame fun, visit us on the website, www.the8bitgeek.com. We've got a lot of links up there. We've got a link over to our Discord. That way you can chat with a whole bunch of people. We've got a link over there for our other podcasts that we do. And then we have a link over there to our Patreon, where we promised that we would read off people's names today. And I know Doug is prepared for that.
Oh, Doug's always prepared for that.
Yeah. He had that on his mind. He actually texted me and was like, hey, Jer, I got that list ready. Can't wait to read them. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, really excited that he was on the ball. So, so if you
don't, he's sending dank memes in our Telegram.
He's sending them because he has so much time while I'm talking.
I've seen a lot of those memes today with the Captain America. That's good.
The Patreon is pretty important to us. Because of the fact that we put so much extra time in delivering content to you for your $5 a month. And why? Why do we ask every episode for your hard-earned money? Well, it's so that way we can eat. We don't have jobs, and without you paying for us, we just would go hungry, and our children would starve.
Wow.
So please give today. Give a lot. Give often. Give now. But for your $5, you're going to get extra content. You're going to get pre-show, post-show. You're also going to get a daily show called The Diner, which is a ton of fun for us to record. We give you an episode. It's supposed to be 15 minutes long every day, but it generally goes over to like 30 to 45. Just depends on what we talk about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, just sometimes, we'll get in under that 17-minute line. But we have a ton of fun doing that. We talk about different topics every day. And what really does your money go towards? Well, it goes towards helping us buy new equipment, buy some ads, and reach more people with the podcast so that way more people can listen. So please help us reach other people's ears and donate to our Patreon. And we'll give you some fun stuff to go with it. With that, Doug, who are our Patreons this month?
All right. These are the ones that are considered active. So as always, if you don't hear your name, make sure that your banking stuff is up to date. I got a message the other day on the Saga Patreon page where someone was like, hey, I didn't get charged. It said my card was wrong. Can you let me know when it gets updated? Like, I'm going to try and update it. We make sure that it goes through and let me know. So if you don't hear your name, you know, make sure your shit's up to date. This is like only showing me some of them, and I can't figure out how to hit to the next page to look at the rest. So, I'm gonna hopefully figure that out while I'm scrolling down and reading. Give me a second. Oh my god, this fucking site sucks. Okay, here we go.
We got
Bitty Babs, Brett, Brian, Moose, Carl, Chris, Crushed Paradise, Cutie, David, Doug's favorite Brit, Dr. Roxo, Dravenholt, Ed, Eric, Floor Salami, Hall Fierce, Jeremy,
shout
Hannah,
out. Shout out.
Jonathan, Josh C, Joshy Boo, Kev Makes Me Hard.
That'll get a shout sequel. Out.
Kevin's son Carmen.
Shout out.
Crassy.
Don't be stealing
Kyle,
my shout
outs. Lauren, Lawrence, Leonard, Link, Linz, Lucy Stage Tech, mandatory username, Manuel, Mado, Merle, Michael, Nathan, not Chad, Pete, Rachel, Random, Robert, Ryan, Scott, Snorkel, Stevie. That is a classic. The Majestic Goose. And here we go. There's the button to hit to go to page 2. Totally not a spy. Travis, Tyler, Wheatley, Windrus, who the fuck is Kenny, and Zane.
Thanks, everybody.
That's awesome.
Thanks You're for awesome. Supporting us. We love you all. And we look forward to not hunting you down if you cancel. You know what I'm saying?
The Great Purge.
All right. So let's get into the show. And at the top of the show, well, the top of the show after the Patreon. Oh, wait. Hey, before we get into this, let's talk about what's happening on the 15th. We're hosting on this Saturday. We're hosting a community event where the three of us will actually show up. I hope Doug's going to be there because we let him know a month and a half in advance.
He cleared his schedule.
Yeah, he did. Mm. He let his wife know. Kevin's going to be there. And, you know, I'll be there remotely. We all will be because we're remote on our computers. We're going to be playing some games. We're going to be having some fun. We're going to be hanging out. People are going to be drinking. It'll be a fun time. So come hang out. We probably stream it, too.
Yeah, we'll do what we can. We always have a fun time. We haven't had one in a while. Yeah. Our community manager, Blakey, set this up just to kind of get everyone back into it. Plus, we've got a lot of new folks in the Discord. So we'd like to introduce them to our other community members and how awesome those are. Yeah. Those people are. So it's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah. And if you're looking to become a community manager, let us know. Blakey's really been dropping the ball lately.
Oh, God. No, he's here, right?
All right, let's get into it. Every episode, we like to read some reviews from Amazon and other places that we can find it, but mostly it's from Amazon. It's a segment we like to call Amazon Prime. It's a working title. We don't have a title. Please suggest a title so we can get a good one. Doug, you're up.
All right, the first one is for a see-through green visor. Like you'd see money sharks wear. Or people at a gambling hall.
Okay.
All right. That's cool.
And or anybody that has to do with money in any sort of cartoon from the 1950s. Anyways, first one comes from Bacon. Bacon wrote a post.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bacon. Shout out.
Shout out. 4 out of 5 stars. Verified purchase. Mm-hmm. They say taxes done.
Nice.
I couldn't figure out how the heck to do my taxes, so I ordered this. I put it on and boom, taxes done. And I only owed $4,000 to the government. Loses 1 star because it's a little small and might have cut off circulation in my brain while I was doing my taxes.
18 people found that helpful.
That's good.
You also have a second review
There's
on the
a second
same product.
One from Fletcher Ridgedale. Mm-hmm. 5 stars. Says, really neato, dudes. I travel back in time to 1988 frequently to rent VHS cassettes from Blockbuster, and this totally radical visor helps me to blend in with the people of the era. It also comes in handy when on my travels I want to eat some pizza at the food court and listen to some Twisted Sister on my Mondo huge boombox.
Hell yeah.
I give it 5 Ronald Reagans out of 5.
That's good. That's a good one.
Let's see. Mine is going to be Blue Buffalo. The Maker's Blue Buffalo. It's Blue Buffalo Wilderness High Protein Grain-Free Natural Adult
Pate
Wet Cat Food Variety Pack. Pate. It's got 565 ratings, and it's at 4.5 stars. But Moz...
That's 3.5, my dude.
Oh, yeah, I was reading that wrong. but Moz, the only one that matters, is going to be a 5-star verified purchase. She goes on to say, your husband will never taste the difference. I secretly add this to my husband's post-workout shakes because I hate him. So far, he hasn't noticed.
Oh, my God. Oh.
193 people found that helpful.
That's good.
How do you not notice turkey pate in your protein shake?
Man, you must be so yoked out from that workout, man. I guess. Oh. Well, I've got a dress. And this is a 5-star review. And it's by I'm Crying While Typing.
Oh, nice.
It's a verified purchase, by the way. My ex-girlfriend, well, she bought this on my account. I'm still hurt from the breakup, but Amazon is bugging me about a review. So here I am lurking her Instagram to see the outfit and give an honest review on her behalf. Even though I was unable to see it in person, she looks great in this two-piece, and it fits every curve just right. I can just imagine all the attention she's getting in this. Although I'm sad, I'm very happy she's made this purchase. One person found this helpful.
Man,
I don't think it was her.
It was her.
No.
Man, what a stand-up dude. What a stand-up guy.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
You know? Oh. Chud Fu says he's clearly over her. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. He's moved on.
Yeah, he's moved on. All right, let's get into the top box office where, guys, Birds of Prey came in first place with $33 million. It's below the expectations of what Warner Brothers was expecting. They were expecting $50 million. It brought in $33 million, but people fail to talk about this. They say, the headlines read, worst opening for a DC movie of all time. What they fail to see is that this movie only cost $80 million to make compared to, like, Justice League that cost fucking $250 million. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of still a win. I mean, yes, it's not to what they wanted to, but they're still going to make back their money. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers also thought that there was a lot of confusion in the name and what it was about, so they actually did a name change this week. So when you go to purchase tickets, it's no longer called Birds of Prey. It's called Harley Quinn Birds of Prey.
Oh, come on. So,
and so now they're just trying to get more people involved. I don't think that people are that dumb. Like, clearly it has Harley on the poster, even though it says Birds of Prey on it. So
it says Harley Quinn on the poster, too, because it's Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Now, my question is, do they keep that while still it's saying? So now it says Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I'd hope so. Fuck yeah, throw it in there as many times you can. Just really rack it in there.
Man, people didn't come out to see the movie, and I want to say, for me personally, I don't know if this is for everyone else, but this is what I thought. I didn't think that the trailer sold the movie that well. Mm-hmm. I still went to go see it. Doug and I went to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin didn't see it because obviously the trailer didn't work on him.
Honestly, well, for one, I didn't know it was coming out this weekend. And for two, I was sick as a dog.
Because the trailer didn't work for you. I enjoyed the film. I thought that somebody was miscast, but overall, I really enjoyed the film.
Who do you think was miscast?
Huntress.
Oh, she was fucking funny.
No,
oh,
she was funny, and I liked her, but I wasn't feeling her as Huntress. Like, I thought she was really funny. And I liked her story and everything. It was just, I don't know. It was something about her that even Ashley said that. Even Ashley was like, yeah, I didn't like her as Huntress. And I was like, okay, I wasn't going to say anything, but I felt the same way. But she really loved the film. It was a ton of fun. I don't want to give anything away, but I did in the text message. I told Doug there was a breakout star in this film, and mm-hmm. You'll know when you see it. You'll definitely know. Fucking breakout.
It'll star. Surprise you.
It number four will surprise you.
No, it was. I wish there'd been a little more focus on the actual Birds of Prey.
That was real confusing because you were just like, why did they name it this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously all those characters are involved in the Birds of Prey, so that makes sense in that regard. But at the same time, it's like, it's not until the very end of the movie, spoilers, where it's like, wow, we're the Birds of Prey or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hope to see a Birds of Prey sequel. I would watch the fuck out of it because this was dope. It was violent. It was funny. It was crazy. It was fun.
Is it PG-13 or rated R?
It's rated R.
I'd have to assume R, right?
Yeah, it's rated R for sure. Okay, they had the John Wick team for all the stunt fights and everything.
Oh shit! That's
yeah. The fight scenes are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And yeah. Like in that like way that you would hope a Harley Quinn fight scene would be crazy. Like it's just over the top enough where like, but you're still into like Deadpool in a way where it's like it's. You're like, this is absurd.
Uh-huh.
Now, not as violent as Deadpool.
Yeah. But as crazy.
But as crazy. And maybe still as violent, but less bloody. Definitely not as gory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that.
Good. Man, I'll see it when I'm feeling better. Because I was looking forward to it. Because I actually was one of the few who liked Suicide Squad. And I liked that Harley Quinn. So I'm all for
it. Oh, she kills it. She absolutely kills it as Harley Quinn. And I don't see... You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you see Heath Ledger take on Joker and you're just like, yeah, I don't know how anyone else tops that.
Yeah. Yeah. I even said, I think in the Saga chat, I don't remember which chat it was in. I actually may have been on Discord. I said, I think this is Margot Robbie's best performance in a movie ever.
Yeah.
I can't think of a movie in which she's done better. Like it was great. It was great.
Not even that Wall Street movie. What was it? No. Wall Street.
She's good in that. But we're talking about that the other night at Ed's. We're playing poker. Our buddy Kay was there, and he hadn't seen it yet. And I said that I was like, I think this is her finest performance yet. And he was like, what about Wolf of Wall Street? And I was like, aye, you're right. That's her finest performance ever. Because she gets naked in that movie.
Ow.
And that's
the show, everybody.
But I would say that this one was it really displayed her acting chops and how good she can actually be, and
her
I don't
range.
Think that she's really had the I don't think she's really had a movie to really show how good she can be, and maybe that'll change. She's got that other movie coming out soon about the people at Fox News or whatever.
Also standout performance was definitely Black Mask. Ewan McGregor nailed it.
And you know, I thought the movie was gonna suffer from the, like, well, he's not wearing the black mask, but when he put the black mask on, it got creepy.
It got super creepy. Yeah,
and his character was like a mix of like funny but like
creepy funny,
but a creepy funny. Yeah like
he's such a weirdo.
Yeah,
and it goes like It's like a slow ascent too, like to just crazy. Because at first he just starts off like, oh, that's funny, but he's off, okay. And then he just progresses into this just crazy monster.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So
yeah.
Okay, let's get into some news. Warner Media, which is, of course, is Warner Brothers, has announced Warner Max, a new film production arm specifically for HBO Max movies. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I guess there wasn't much to talk about for that one.
No.
Congratulations.
Because they didn't really talk about anything other than saying that Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema will continue to create mid-budget fare for traditional theatrical distribution, while Warner Max will create a new pipeline for filmmakers to bring stuff to. So, AKA, you'll get big summertime movies in the box office, and everything else will go to streaming.
It seems like that's the way everything's going. Mm-hmm. You know, any kind of drama or comedy or something is going to streaming, and you get your AAA popcorn movies in theaters.
I don't know. I can't fully agree with that because we've gotten some great film on in the theater still. But yes, there is a big chunk of more opportunities for people in streaming and for those kind of films. But I still think we get some really good comedies still at the theater level. I've seen a couple last year.
Word.
But who knows? I don't know if this is confirmed or not. Some people are saying it's confirmed, and then some are saying it's just rumors. Maybe I need to get an update. Maybe one of you two can help me with that. But Sam Raimi, is in talks to direct Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I'm down with that.
I'm
especially. Did you guys share the poster, or did because I've been so out of it this weekend?
Winters posted it on Facebook. I mean, none of that's confirmed. It's obviously a fan made poster, but
okay. I just wanted to make sure because that looked amazing, and you saw basically a Spider-Man hand coming out of one of his portals. But if you notice closely, it was the Raimi Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, if they bring Tobey Maguire back.
I think that they do at some point because they're hinting towards it. So why not have him cameo? You don't even need him to take off the mask. Just have him in the mask because, you know, he's obviously older now. So you could still have him in costume or even get a body double, put the body double in a costume, and then he just does the voiceover.
And then he could do face stuff when the mask comes off or whatever. Because, you know, they always got to take the masks off in Marvel movies.
No. That's what I'm saying. You don't even need to take the mask off because he's old as shit now. He's like 82.
Just do his face, like CGI his face.
Man, God damn it. No, we're not taking the mask off.
He's just saying that Tobey Maguire is 82 is what he's saying.
Said by every comic book fan, though. They're not taking the mask off.
I quit.
Yeah.
All Kevin wants to do is take the damn mask off.
No, I'm saying, well, that's what like Marvel does. All the characters, they have to like a majority of the time, their masks are off.
Doug, do we have an update on this story? Is it confirmed?
It's still just reportedly. Like, there's no, there's nothing like confirming or not.
If you're wondering why he would be a good fit for this, it's because of the fact that of all of his indie horror films. Makes him a great candidate to make something really spooky and creepy while still having fun in a Marvel universe. So,
yeah,
I am looking. Apparently, I had to do some reshoots for Morbius, which I only mention because here, I'm going to show this to you guys. I hope you guys can see it. This was on a bus near the set, I guess. It's a bus.
Where is Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Do you think that we're going multiverse in the live action?
I think we are. I think that's where it's headed. I think that's why, again, in the Morbius trailer, there's a Spider-Man in the background that has murder Parker's. Like spray painted over the poster, but that is a Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Morbius is going to be on, MCU Earth, or if he's going to be in another. It's the same thing with Venom. Or maybe they're not on Tom Holland's Spider-Man world. But maybe they're on,
and maybe that explains,
or maybe they're on Tobey Maguire, and so that I think that's what they're going to build to, and if Sony's smart, that's what they should do, and they should bring all three of them back.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
agreed.
Man, I loved Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I am in the minority on that,
I loved him as Spider-Man, but I thought his movies were garbage. I thought he was great. I thought he was fucking fantastic. But the movies themselves were not good. But he was good. He was great.
I don't know. I guess I'm in the minority here in between the three of us because I just didn't like him.
You suck.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I like my dashboard confessional in my Spider-Man.
Jared, your hair is just everywhere.
It's everywhere. Okay, it's just screaming infidelities.
Yar.
Yeah, get Kariss Karaba in the Spider-Verse.
I'd like him for him to
Let's
be
get
Spider-Man.
A petition going.
There is a Friends reunion coming to HBO Max, everybody, but calm down. They're not doing an actual episode. It's a unscripted. I think it's going to be like a get together where a reunion where they all talk about the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be like a Comic-Con panel.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, Parks and Rec did it, you know, and they did a fantastic job. They had like an hour and a half panel with all of them kind of reuniting. So I could see.
Yeah, they did it at Paley Fest, which they do every once in a while. But yeah, their 2019 one was fantastic.
It was so good. I loved it so much. So yeah, I'd be cool with the Friends thing like that.
Holy shit. They're paying everybody $3 to $4 million each to come back for this reunion.
Yeah.
As if they didn't have enough money already.
For real. They make $1 million an episode.
Off of the old, I mean, like off of, what do they call it? The, when it goes,
I'm sorry, they make $10 million a year just off of the reruns.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's the
syndication.
It's the coffee, barista that makes $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. I love it. It's so awesome. Resident Evil seems to be getting a Netflix series. So that's no reaction from Kev. God damn it. I put this in here for you.
I'm cool with it. I mean, here's the thing. Live action Resident Evil has sucked. Okay. Animated Resident Evil has been amazing. They have like these CGI movies of Resident Evil have been badass. I've loved every single one of them. And they've been so close to the film.
Kevin.
Or they've been so close to the video game. So is this going to be CGI?
No, Kev. It's going to be live action. Oh. And you're wrong. The movies have been fucking awesome. And you know
what
it.
What movies have you seen?
The first one and the second one.
That's about as far as it goes. Even the second one's questionable when you see Nemesis' shitty rubber mask.
I'm sorry, but it looks better than the video game. Am I right, Doug?
It came out in like 97 and it was shitty polygons.
I know. But I'm not
Although
wrong.
Resident Evil, the remake was really good. Mr. X, he gonna give it to you. I'd be cool with this, man. I mean, I'm always for more horror stuff. And if they can do like a, especially like Netflix has been able to kind of shine a lot of video game franchises up, especially what we're seeing with The Witcher. I would like to see them give Resident Evil that treatment of actually giving some love to it and dedicating it and making it at least building it into Raccoon City. So, but it doesn't look like that. This is going to be in Clearfield, Maryland. So. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But I'd like to see them do like a dedicated Raccoon City one, like even like Raccoon City Stories, and just have like different survivors throughout what happens with like during Resident Evil 2, where the city is like filled with a T-virus and zombies and stuff. And it's just random survivors trying to get out. But again, I guess that's Walking Dead. So I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to pin down a zombie thing these days.
Zombies are zombies. It's old tricks, man. Nobody wants really zombies right now. Everybody wants vampires again. Bring back.
True, there has been a lot of vampire shit lately.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right, so guys, you know, let me ask you a real question here. You guys know about this Baby Yoda?
No.
Okay.
Tell me more.
Okay, so there's this character that's on a new TV show called The Mandalorian, right?
What? Well, yeah. What's that about?
It streams on Disney Plus, and it's about a father and a son, an adopted son. Who and the father has to protect the adopted son from harm's way, and he teaches him life lessons like, hey buddy, don't hit random buttons you're not supposed to, and and so the son ends up showing his strength when fighting a fucking animal that looks like a rhino, like a giant, like if you threw 10 rhinos into one. And then it's that big. So anyways, and the kid likes frogs a lot.
Yeah.
So that's Baby Yoda. And,
next story.
I'm here to tell you that it's now Funko's best selling pop of all time. And it hasn't even come out yet. Makes it's sense. Just on pre-order.
Wow.
So sold out even before it hit the shelves. That's how much people are thirsty for this.
The pop was just, it was cute, but it was just okay. Mm-hmm. Where it was at, though, was the Sideshow collectible, like, life-size statue.
That $350 one?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Sideshow
doesn't mess around.
That's a steal.
Yeah, man. Kev, did you order one?
No, I'm broke. And what? But I mean, it's sweet. It looks exactly. It looks like a replica, like an exact replica of.
It is. It's a one. It's a 1-1 replica. One.
There you go. For $350, that is a steal. That's a good one.
That's not bad. I mean, seriously, in comparison to some of what the prices they charge for some of their stuff, that's really not that bad.
Doug, put it on the card.
All right. Just send me the 8-bit geek card info.
Not that card.
Declined.
He didn't specify, so.
Warner Brothers is planning on opening a Harry Potter experience in Tokyo.
Oh. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh.
No, because I just saw the picture of it, and I thought about, like, just that hall. Yeah, that's really cool.
I don't think that that's it.
No, it's probably taken directly from the movie.
No.
That's probably taken from the London experience.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
It'll probably be modeled after it.
Mm-hmm.
So... You can go and visit and see all the cool Harry Potter
stuff. You can
see
like the like outfits and stuff in the right hand side of the photo. So it's clearly like a
setup.
Yeah.
Hey,
Harry Potter one in London?
Hmm.
Like, was the Harry Potter like how long has the Harry Potter experience been in London?
I don't know. 5 years.
Oh, okay. Because like I said, when we were there in 2013, it wasn't there.
I mean, we're just guessing.
We would have made a special trip there. We even went
or...
to.
Maybe you just missed it.
Like yeah, you weren't itch. Into Harry Potter back then because you
yeah,
hate,
you weren't into Harry Potter.
You no, hate
I
wizards.
Wasn't, but Debbie was.
You
Debbie
hate fantasy.
Was, Debbie was very into Harry Potter. When we were out there, we went to King's Crossing. We went to the 9 3/4 stop. Like they actually have like a spot there that you can pose with. And they had like the
how long was the line
through.
To get a photo?
Oh, it wasn't bad at all. It wasn't bad at all. Because, I mean, it's just regular. It was like in June and nobody.
It wasn't bad at all. 3 hours tops.
Yeah. Real quick line. When we were in Scotland, we went to the Elephant Cafe, which J.K. Rowling is basically where she wrote, I think, the first book, The Sorcerer's Stone.
Didn't she write it on the train?
I don't.
But, I mean, the Elephant Cafe. And then right around the corner from the Elephant Cafe was this huge school to where it was kind of based on. So we've seen that like when we were in Scotland, but we didn't hear anything about like a Harry Potter experience, so to say.
Hey, is Harry Potter still popular or are we boycotting that yet?
It's still popular.
Okay.
It's still popular. Everyone doesn't like J.K. Rowling.
I don't know, because J.K. crazy.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, you can still like the art and show
not like
the
artist.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Just making sure where we were at. That's all.
I'm trying to see when this opened, Kev.
Yeah. Cancel Potter.
I would have felt bad if we would have missed out on that.
Chad Fu.
2015?
Oh, yeah. We were.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Or at least that's
the reason to go back.
Yeah, you know, 9 3/4. You know, they did some Privet Drive stuff.
Privet Drive?
Privet Drive? All right, let's get into some gaming news, where our good old boy Cliffy B is back in the news.
Yep.
Did we get him for the interview?
Sorry, it's April 26, 2013 is when it opened.
Never mind,
we're
not. Okay, we haven't gone to gaming yet.
Sorry, I just kept scrolling. Continue. Cliffy B did we get... says that Lawbreakers failed because it was too woke.
Get the fuck out of here, Cliffy.
Can we talk to Cliffy on this one? Did anyone get him on the line?
I don't know. Who does Cliffy?
Nobody. Cliffy? I was looking for you to fucking come up with a voice for him.
Oh, no. I don't. What does he sound like?
A woke well, folk, man.
Like Cliffy B. You could pretty much assume what he's going to sound like.
Yo, it's me, Cliffy B.
Accurate. Is this really him?
No, Cliffy. I'm here. I'm here to talk about Lawbreakers. Y'all remember that game, right?
Holy shit, it's like living, breathing Cliffy B in our stream.
So what happened, man? What do you mean it got too woke? So people didn't buy your game because it was shitty. They didn't buy it because everyone was the game was too woke.
Yep.
Man, we have huge on our podcast.
Ever since the studio closed, I've been racking my brain what I could have done differently.
Uh-huh. I also heard that you have a new nickname called, you're calling yourself Dude
Huge. Who Huge?
Dude Huge.
He's been calling himself that for years.
Okay, so what happened?
Oh God,
Cliffy, did we lose you, Cliffy?
Because he knows sorry. What's coming up.
I'm just sorry. He's looking at himself in the mirror.
Oh, okay.
Doing a little pose.
What it looks like? It looks like the game Woke Bro. What? Instead of the story being this game looks neat, it became this is the game with the woke bro trying to push his hackery politics on us with gender neutral bathrooms. Instead of these characters seem fun, it was this is the studio with the CEO who refuses to make his female characters sexier. Instead of who am I going to choose, it became white dude shoehorns diversity in his game and then smells his own smug farts in interview. Instead of just letting the producers speak for its product speak for itself.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Nobody requires sexy females as in their game.
Well, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying that like that's why his game was so woke, is that like he wouldn't make his character sexy.
Right, but that's also why he's saying it didn't sell, but I'm saying that's bullshit.
Yeah. It was too woke, man.
Yeah, I didn't have sexy characters in my game, so it didn't sell, and it's all your fault.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, it's bullshit. There's been proof that games without sexy dressing people sell just fine.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe your game just sucked, dude.
Yeah. Why not just make a better game? Well, and game that everyone wanted.
This quote right here, this is the one that makes me laugh. He said, "Pivot hard when the juggernaut of Overwatch was announced. Been less nice with my design ideas and more of a dictator with them." It's like, what? Overwatch... You weren't going to be able to compete against Overwatch there, bud.
Listen, he thought Overwatch came out and changed the game of how multiplayer games worked. Instead of going with that and being like, okay, this is a great element that people seem to love, he thought that going back to Unreal Tournament was where he would turn people to and people would want it and love it. But I'm sorry, nobody does anymore. And you didn't make it happen. You took a swing. You struck out, but instead of taking it like a man and walking back to the dugout and practicing a little bit more before you step back up to the plate, you're whining about it and announced your retirement.
He announced his retirement. After this game?
Yeah,
Kev. I don't know. He did it a couple times, man. He was one of those faces in gaming, like back when gaming was still coming up, and he was like the bad boy of gaming because Gears of War. And then after that, it's just like, yeah, he left Epic and it just kind of went downhill from there.
Go sit in your Lamborghini, drive around town, enjoy your money, shut up.
Yeah.
Make a good game, bro.
Bro, dude, huge.
Dude, huge. All right. So Amazon and Google are Microsoft's main competitors, says Microsoft, not Sony or Nintendo. And that's true. That's a company who's looking forward, and they see where the hockey puck is going. And they know, and Microsoft knows that, hey, this streaming thing is going to be the future. And even Sony doesn't have an answer to it because Sony doesn't have the streaming platform. Sony's going to have to buy the servers and use the servers from Amazon and or Google. And then, of course, Google has their own with the Stadia. Failed. But then also Amazon is probably going to announce something. All they have to do, they have the gamers. PlayStation Now is, that's all downloadable. It's not streaming. Ryan asked, what about PlayStation Now? That's all downloads. I mean, that's not a streaming base. I guess they could turn it into, but they don't have the infrastructure for it. They would have to buy it out from they'd have to buy it from Amazon or somebody else at the backbone. It is streaming. Is it really? PlayStation Now? Oh yeah, I guess it is. But it's not theirs. They use Microsoft. If I remember correctly. So suck it, Ryan.
Damn.
But yeah, they don't stand a chance compared to these motherfuckers that are bringing the streaming out. Oh yeah, I was gonna say Twitch. All Twitch has to do is use their own logins still and come out with a Twitch streaming platform and be like, all right, all you have to do is log in with your Twitch and you can buy the games that you want to do and one button streaming as well and all that shit. So that's probably around the corner, and the traditional console will die and Nintendo will be the only one that's hanging on to it. So you can get your Switch 5 while everyone is streaming to their masks, their gaming masks, while walking around the city.
That's
with their fake tactile hand controllers that attach to your fingers. And you can get them drilled into your fingers. And
are you just talking about Ready Player One?
And then you're just, yeah.
and then this guy named Parsifal is going to come and get the keys.
Listen, my rant was mostly me staring also at Doug, trying to get his attention to see if he would respond to anything, but he didn't.
Oh, it's gaming. He usually clocks out around now.
I'm gone.
Yeah. Remember, he's like, all right, cool. Peace.
The PlayStation View. Did the Dr. Grums, Gums says, what about PlayStation View? Didn't that fail?
I think View failed because that was the cable, like their cable version or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think they're ending that service, or they're like liquidating it into something. But I mean, even Forbes put out an article about this too, and I kind of agree. And remember, I used to be the Sony fanboy. I've got a fucking Sony cup right here. I have played my Xbox
Chiefs,
much more.
The Chiefs win one Super Bowl and he's now not a Sony fan.
No, but with the Xbox, like what they've been able to do lately, especially with Game Pass, that turned a lot of people onto them. And their introductory price, the games that they're offering on day one. Like I said, I'm playing Outer Worlds. You've been playing Plague Tale Innocence,
which everyone should play, by the way.
Yeah, and we're getting to play all these games that we probably wouldn't have played, at least on day one, for free, sort of, because of the subscription, but I mean, through Game Pass. And Sony doesn't really have a good answer for that yet. Even their first party titles aren't available on PlayStation Now, like on day one. So I can understand why Microsoft is kind of winning this now.
Well, Sony is also going to develop for PC. Their first party titles are coming to PC as well. So we got the MLB game coming to PC. And
that's
then
amazing.
What's
Horizon?
That? Oh yeah, huh?
Horizon Zero Dawn's coming.
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn has been looking for a PC architect and all that other stuff. So it's all swinging uphill for us, man.
Dude, this next generation and beyond, it's going to go closer and closer to PC gaming. There's going to be, we're already seeing modular parts and systems. We're already seeing upgraded systems. It's going to turn into PC streaming. At this point, not PC streaming, but PC like how it is. And
well, you have to, if you're going to get that powerful, if you're going to keep up with how powerful PC is. But like I said, this is probably, we're one or two generations away from that all changing anyways to streaming. So why not get it on as many platforms as you can right now?
Yeah. System exclusivity is archaic at this point. It's just give the people what they want.
Tell that to Epic.
Epic is owned by Microsoft, so what? They're still doing their thing.
What are you talking about?
You tell me about Dude Huge. I don't know what he owns these days.
Epic is not owned by Microsoft.
I thought so, because they own... Oh, wait, no. Okay, so Epic... No, I'm sorry, because I'm thinking Gears of War, but Gears of War, I guess, is no longer owned by Epic. I guess they're owned by, who owns Gears of War now?
Continue.
Besides Microsoft.
I'm waiting.
Let's see.
Let's dig yourself out of this one. Gears is owned by Microsoft. They use the
Gears
Epic,
is owned by Microsoft,
yeah,
but
they use the Epic engine.
The Coalition is the developer, so yeah. So Epic has nothing to do with it anymore. They've switched it off to the Coalition.
Yep. EA. Speaking of EA, we didn't talk about EA. We're fucking talking about Microsoft. EA has went ahead and they were doing good for a while until this move. They went ahead and jacked up prices of old games on Steam.
Just to see if anyone noticed.
Oh, did they ever notice? Oh, my God. A 16-year-old game, Sims 4 Deluxe, is now $17.99.
Sims 4?
Yeah, double its previous price.
This is all outside of the United States.
Yeah, it's all outside of the United States. So I think I did say, did I not say international prices? But yeah, everything has been jacked up. It's unbelievable. Like some stuff went up $5 or, you know, stuff like that. But some just went ridiculous. It's just crazy. Like, why do this?
Trying to drive people to Origin.
Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe it's the smartest move they've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, hey, fuck Steam. Our games are more expensive over there. Come to us.
Yeah. Pay $15 a month and you can play all the bitches.
Get it all. We're talking about streaming, and Nvidia is getting into the action with their GeForce Now, and people are really happy with it, and they're saying this is the cloud gaming service that Stadia should have been.
Wow.
Yeah. It's even got a free tier. It's got a free tier and a paid tier, and so you can stream it to stream it over to your MacBook if you wanted to.
It's amazing. I mean, we're able to stream games to our cell phones these days if you have a good enough connection. You know, with your cell phones, you can Bluetooth controls in, so you can just play on the go. It's insane that we're living like this right now.
It's $4.99 a month if you wanted the Pro Edition, which is half of what Stadia charges. It's also backed by faster GPUs, supports ray tracing. The subscription is required for ray tracing, and has generally lower latency. Over Stadia. So.
Good. I mean, latency kills. I mean, that can make or break the service, really. I mean, that's what killed OnLive. Besides OnLive being way too ahead of their time on that one.
My question now is, do you get to stream the games that you already own? Because if you have a NVIDIA graphics card, because it has that little game center thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it allows you to stream all your. It probably does, right? It has to. Please?
I don't know.
Please? Please?
That would be great. Yeah, that would be fantastic if they did like a game check and be like, all right, you own this game, so you have the license to stream it. That would be amazing. I doubt it because I'm sure they want to get their money in their pockets. It's kind of like when you buy currency for a game that's cross-platform. The currency will only show up on the platform you buy it for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm trying to look through this article to see if... what the gaming thing is here. Like if you can use your own library to stream. Because I don't know if they have... I don't know if NVIDIA has their own store. Right?
No, not yet.
So it has to use your
existing library. Besides their
library.
You know, their hardware store, nothing software.
Yeah. Let me look. Oh, yeah, the games you own. It's right on the front page.
Nice. Okay.
You bought it. Perfect. You own it. Connect your favorite stores and stream your library of games. You make your purchases on your own personal store account, and games will always stay with you.
That's amazing. So I guess and you know what? That makes you even more. That makes it more worth it to buy one of those NVIDIA. Or NS is not NVIDIA. Is it GeForce?
GeForce Shield or something.
Yeah, the Shield to play it on the go.
Yeah. Well, that's dope, man.
Yeah, I hope it works out for them. I mean, once again, if we can be able to game on the go like we can game on our PCs, that's all gamers want.
Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Huh.
Doug, what do you think?
Meh.
All right, cool.
I mean, it's cool for anyone who's going to use it. We're obviously not going to use it because we have full-fledged PCs that we walk into our office and play with.
Yeah, but I mean, Kev will use it because he likes to sit on his couch and stream shitty stuff to his shitty TV.
I do. I really wish the Steam Link worked with more products.
It does.
I'm sitting on my beautiful couch, playing my shitty games.
Hey, can't you? Hey, do a test for me, with your shitty life.
sorry, I'm gonna blow my shitty nose. BRB.
I was gonna ask you if you add a game to Steam, can then you use the Steam Link to stream that game?
A third party game, like a non Steam game?
Yeah.
You could do it on certain, like Ubisoft allows it. Mm-hmm. Epic, you have to like kind of do a workaround. EA Origin works fine. The Windows games, like the Game Pass games, do not.
Okay,
which sucks.
But you have a huge selection of games that you can stream to your TV.
Yeah, on Steam. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a good selection. I mean, there's only a few that I really wish, like Destiny 2 was not optimized for Steam Link, so the controller won't work right. It controls like you're playing a mouse and keyboard, even if you have a controller. So the controls are all whacked out, and that's something that still hasn't been fixed.
Well, tell them to fix it,
because I would love to play Destiny 2 on my TV again, without, you know, playing on console, because the console is much slower.
All right.
And Ryan says modern good old games, GOG games generally work too. Nice. So cool.
Let's see. Amazon is thinking about offering Twitch's streaming technology to businesses, which is a smart move, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, for like conferences and stuff, I think it would be great.
Hey guys, we're going to have this, this video call. You guys download Twitch yet? That'd be funny to hear in the office.
Yeah, that'll give everyone in the office a read. Yeah, I was gonna say they'd have to like unban Twitch from their websites or whatever, because I'm sure there's like offices that have that shit banned.
I'm sure they would rebrand it.
It'd be, yeah, exactly. I'm
saying, like, Twitch for business.
Nah, they'd just name it something else. But yeah, I was like, I mean, if you have Microsoft Teams, or if you have Zoom, yeah, or if you have like all, there's all these other. It seems like why bother when it already exists?
Yeah,
because everyone wants their piece of the pie.
Yeah, but when you have things like Microsoft Teams, it's like part of Windows 10. Like, why bother? You know.
And it's amazing that Amazon is still like, hey, how can we make more money? Because like everyone uses them. Hell, even Netflix still uses their servers.
Yeah,
which is nutso.
I would just be curious, yeah, as to what this would offer that those don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zoom is pretty good. Now, I will say it does have, like, you have to have, like, a pro account to have more than X amount of people, and you can only have the meeting or whatever for, like, 40 minutes without a pro account.
Well, that's actually, that should be a standard anyways. No meeting should be more than 40 minutes.
Agreed. Shit. Well, see, like, they use it at my job or whatever, because they'll do classes,
training and class. Oh,
classes. Students and stuff classes. will use it. If they can't make it to class, they can log into Zoom. And then they also do it with study abroad stuff, where again, the schools and stuff in other countries, you know, so these classes may be going on for an hour and a half or 2 or 3 hours, right? And so that's how they connect with a school in London or whatever, is through like Zoom. But yeah, at the same time, like, but what would Twitch offer if not that? You know what I mean? Like, what would the difference be? Because it's, yeah, essentially you can share your screen, you can have a ton of people in there,
you could donate bits to your coworkers.
You could donate bits to your coworkers.
If you like your,
I want to thank Kevin for the subscription.
No, if your professor's really good, he can start getting a following and getting donations for his when he's teaching.
That, you know, side hustle, man. Hell yeah, dude,
it'd be awesome. 2K game. Oh god,
I saw this and I'm like,
I forgot about this. So 2K Games was disappointed that their garbage release of WWE 2K20 sold poorly.
And first and foremost, let me be the leader of this when I say fuck them for thinking that, because they should have known. They released a game in a literal garbage state and got mad at people for not buying it. Fuck y'all. To this day, the game is playable, but still buggy as fuck. They fucked up hard. They should have skipped a year. They should have even came out before, like a month or two before the release, and said, hey, look, this isn't going the way we planned. We need more time with this. What we're going to do is we're going to enhance WWE 2K19. We're going to give you some extra modes. We're going to figure out, we're going to throw in like a, maybe like a $20 or $30 ultra premium pack. This will enhance 2K19 while we work on 2K21 and just skip 2K20, so, because it was an absolute shit show to where WWE themselves don't even want to be a part of this game no more. Like, it's bad.
Kev, so what you're saying is that they should have released a they released a roster update and just slapped 2020 on the on the 2019 packaging.
They could have had a 2K20 update.
I know
that they could have done that, and it would have made much more sense, and it would have been easier on the pockets of gamers, and they would have understood people have complained. People are going to complain no matter what, but at least they wouldn't have this. They wouldn't have this shit stain on their resume. Now the people who worked on this game are embarrassed. I mean, like, it's really fucking bad. And I say this, I've been buying every WWE game since 2000. And
you didn't buy shit, bruh.
Okay. Spiritually, I have owned every 2K game or every
8-bit bought this one, if I remember correctly.
All right, fucking semantics. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about how fucking garbage the game is. Let me destroy this game.
Do it.
So fucking broken. The first. Okay, let's tell you this. Another example of how fucked up this game was. When the clock struck midnight on 2020, the game broke. You couldn't log in because there was some fucking 2K bug.
Why
in
2K?
There. Seriously, you could not log into WWE 2K20 after 12:01 on fucking New Year's Day. How bad is that? It's so fucking bad. This game just let everyone down. There's good features to it, like their showcase mode, or not their showcase mode. They created like this kind of like fantasy mode that was cool in theory, but the rest of the game is just absolute garbage. And it was 1,000 steps back on what they've been working on. And it's sad, you know, and I can't blame the developers really, because they lost their main guys, and then they had to make a game in a year. They had to like recreate an engine. They had to do all this new stuff to it in a year. They didn't have time to do it. The 2K should have known that, and they should have put something out. They fucked themselves on this. They don't deserve any sympathy for that shit. That is all on 2K. So that's mine. And now I can't talk anymore. I've worked myself up.
Let me just make some notes here. How to get Kev fired up for a show.
Well, it just sucks because one of our shows on this network, 8-Bit Brawl, runs off of WWE 2K19, and I was really hoping, I had high hopes that I would be able to do more in 2K20 and really elevate the series. Instead, I have to revert back to 2K19 and kind of work with what I've got, which I've got a lot of stuff. 2K19 is a great game now, but 2K20 could have been something big, and they fucked it up. And like I said, I make a show out of it. I spend a lot of time. I spent over 170 hours in 2K19 making content, and it sucks that I can't make content in 2K20 because the game is so broken. You know,
I can't make the
Jewish hammer. I can't make it the Hebrew hammer.
It's the Hebrew hammer. Get it right. I knew you hated my characters.
I can't make the Hebrew hammer in 2K20. I can't make Doug as glorious as he is in WWE 2K19. Like, I can't do stuff like that, and it's a bummer, man. It sucks.
Hey, Kev. Did you play 2 hours of 2K20 yet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think I played more than 2 hours of it.
No, it's a shame. We could just ask for a refund. But...
Oh, no, it's been too late. Yeah.
Let's see. Activision has announced that Call of Duty Mobile is its biggest platform. Holy shit.
No shit, because everyone has a cell phone.
Free to play, but also it makes.
Don't you all have cell phones?
Yeah, but.
Oh, man. It has gone from 40 to 100 million players following the launch of mobile.
Fuck. I still have not downloaded it. I can't picture playing it on a cell phone without a controller, you know?
Yeah.
How do people's phones have that much battery?
I mean, they have enough for Fortnite. Kids have been playing Fortnite on their cell phones for years.
Hey, you can now sync your PlayStation controller to the iPhone. So
nice, but yeah. Good on them. I mean, like, season 2 starts tomorrow, or I guess starts today for your Tuesday listeners, and it looks promising. So
Chud Food's the only one who got my joke about you, but Kev was so he had fire in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. I was so worked up. I fucking hate WWE 2K20 because of the fact that they could have just admitted shit. I'm sorry. I'm just going off again.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the show, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it.
And yes, Ryan, they did fire the original developer.
Stay tuned for a post show where you get to ask us questions. Till then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that. Bullshit.